The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, after experiencing three consecutive miscarriages, Ryan and Julia continued to pray for multiple children.
Every time Julia would come in and say, we lost this one, like, my heart would just sink.
I had to decide either God is who he says he is or he isn't, and there's really no wiggle room.
Hear how this reality show couple went from grief to joy as they dared to pray big and experienced miracle triplets next.
Today, I'm Randy Robinson. This is Sheila Walsh. And you know, that show on TLC, Rattled. I'm glad you're watching live today right now. But there's a very popular show. My wife loves it. Do you ever watch the show?
Of course I do. I love the show. Yes.
See, it was a bit new to me. It's not exactly my genre. Anyway, but we have people from Rattled right here on the
set. Some of the very stars.
We do. Would you welcome Ryan and Julia Sadler?
Thank you.
Welcome.
So, we're not just going to talk about the show, although I'm sure a lot of people would listen to that all day long. But you have a book called Pray Big Things, which ties in, I think, with the show. But give us a little bit of background so that we'll understand the context of this Pray Big Things, because it's not just three words. It's a big deal in your lives.
Yes, for sure. So the idea for Pray Big Things came 3 years ago. We didn't have anything really terrible going on, no incurable diagnosis, or really even big problem. And we'd both been Christians for quite a long time, but we just wanted more out of our life, out of our relationship with God. And we both just felt this stir in our spirit of the Holy Spirit saying, what if? What if you really give all you have? What if those promises in Scripture really are for you? And so we both just really felt that that was something God told us, and we made a list of 20 things. We sat down and we just said, you know what? We're not going to be embarrassed to ask God for anything. And so no one's watching. It's just us. I mean, of course, God's watching. But we're like, let's just come down and agree on a list of 20 things we're going to pray until they happen or until God clearly says no. And so on that list were multiples, because we're going to ask for anything. I
didn't multiple. Think,
yeah, multiple children.
Oh, children.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It could have been multiple dogs.
Sorry. No. I just assumed that I probably couldn't do childbirth more than once. So I thought, I've always wanted multiples. Used to dress up my sister like we're twins. I've always been drawn to that.
She had no idea what she was getting into.
No idea. No. And we had been writing curriculum for our student ministry for years. We really wanted to get that published. So we had on there book deals, just anything. We had people we wanted to see get saved, people in our family struggling with different addictions. And we just super specifically, that was the rule. It's specific and persistent. And so, you know, whenever I believe when you start praying differently, God takes notice, and so does Satan. And so whenever we started praying multiple times a day, persistently, boldly coming before the throne, really interesting things started happening. We got pregnant immediately. And I remember thinking, that was easy.
Yeah, there you go.
I was like, well,
asking
okay.
You receive, right?
I was like, next. And we lost that child, and that miscarriage coincided with an event I have for teenage girls, where I had 100 girls in my backyard that I was teaching on how God has a purpose for their life for that season that is not contingent on anything in the future. That season has a spiritual purpose. And so obviously that was so surreal, losing our first child while having 100 girls in my backyard to minister to. One of them here today, so that's pretty cool. It was like, oh, that's sad. But a lot of people are like, we've had miscarriages too. We're like, okay. And then we get pregnant again, and then we lose that child. And when that happened, Ryan and I, it was just impossible not to feel like something was going on, especially because we were committed to praying such big prayers. And so we just decided that, you know, even though this surprises us, it doesn't surprise God. And just taking very very practically what Scripture says about it's an honor to suffer. And so we, even though we're struggling with this personally, it was on the verge of the biggest evangelism campaign initiative our student ministry had ever seen. We had 12-year-olds that were witnessing to Muslims on the streets of downtown Dallas, and we saw 130 people specifically shared, told the gospel to people under 18. And so it was incredible. It was just this neat evangelistic thing that took off in our student ministry. And so even though we were struggling so much personally, it was one of the best seasons in ministry. Mm-hmm. And so then I'll, you know, just to close with this, then we get pregnant again and lose that baby on a weekend. I'm speaking in two different states, one at a women's conference on anxiety and depression, and the other on why God allows suffering.
Really?
And so, yes.
Really?
And so it was just, I mean, I really felt like it was two spiritual forces just waging war for our faith and our family.
What's going through your head at this point?
This whole time was obviously very taxing on us. I mean, we had heard that, most people, do suffer one miscarriage, a lot of women, they first start trying. But, when they just kept happening, it started testing us quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And, every time Julie would come in and say, we lost this one, like, my heart would just sink, Mm-hmm. And for me, it was, as the husband, I can't really do a whole lot, I can't fix it, but just be there for her and come alongside of her. And it was amazing because I had some men come alongside me as well and kind of help me through that. But, it was hard, and I knew that the best thing I could do for our marriage was to make sure that I was stayed with her, prayed with her, supported her, in everything that she was doing.
What questions were you asking God? Surely you had to be asking something.
Well, I knew about three things in my life. I knew I was supposed to be a Christian, called to ministry. And I knew I was supposed to be married, and specifically to Julia.
That's good.
Good choice. Good choice.
Good save.
And I knew I was supposed to be a father. Mm. And I just somehow, I just felt like God had told me that, when I was younger. And I just was wondering, why is this happening? Mm. Later on, I don't give too much away just yet, but it was all in God's timing.
Yeah.
I mean, God's timing is perfect.
Oh, no, give it away. Tell us what happened.
And I'll let Julia take this, because, it was...
Let me ask you one question before you. How did that kind of loss impact your prayer life? Mm-hmm. Because, you've been a Christian, you've been in the church, your dad's a very well-known, very well-loved pastor. And that's been your life, but you go through this tremendous loss and suffering. Mm-hmm. How did that change the way you prayed?
Yes. So it's like what you said. I became a Christian when I was 4, and I really have followed God most of my life. A little breaks here and there, but that's not what this show's about. Anyway, I had to decide either God is who he says he is or he isn't. Mm-hmm. And there's really no wiggle room. And so I think it's such a benefit. And, we work with students. That's what our life is in student ministry. It's such a benefit to know the word of God. Mm-hmm. And then having a time where the rubber meets the road. I was like, okay, this is why you learn this verse in Bible drill. And starting to see it as an opportunity. I love, there's a quote my dad says often, that trials are God's vote of confidence in you. And I think it was F.B. Meyer, But just that, okay, like really picturing that God's up there like, you can do this, I've got you. And just the opportunity to live that out.
You have an interesting phrase in your book. You said that for some time you were living on borrowed prayers. Mm-hmm. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, so I always thought prayer was really boring. I was like, sometimes they can get so long. And I'm on the front row, so I was kind of peeking around. I've sat through a lot of prayers in my life as a pastor's daughter.
I hear you, I get it.
And I've grown up with that heritage of this person's prayed for you. And I was like, that's great, but really when you're a child, I think you can really take that for granted. And when you're someone that has grown up in the church and you're just like, this is great. Thanks for praying for me. But whenever you really have a time where you need to see God move, you need to see that, you need to feel that. And so I talk about borrowed prayers because I think if you've grown up surrounded by prayer, it can kind of be like, ah, big deal. But a lot of us are benefiting from the prayer work, I say the knee work, of other people. Yeah. Other people have spent generations praying for who would come after them.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. When you went through this tremendous loss, and then you start to write Pray Big prayers. Mm-hmm. How has that impacted your work with young people?
Yes.
Because you're very committed to student ministry.
Yes.
But they've seen you walk through tremendous suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we weren't broadcasting it right away, the miscarriages. You know, with the third miscarriage, it was like, all right, we're facing something here for sure. And so we started praying even more. We'd be watching Netflix. I'm like, we gotta pray right now.
Right.
And I mean, that it just became this whole, it was our life, praying. And so we prayed for three children, for multiples, but then, which was already on the list, and then we added Ephesians 3:20, for God to do more than anything we can hope or imagine.
And boy, did he.
Yes. And so, you know, we find out from the fertility doctor, people always want to know that bit, did take medication to help not miscarry. That does not usually equal triplets. So we say God used medication to fulfill our request.
That's right.
But we got the news that we were having triplets.
Oh, yes.
And
oh,
where I've read accounts of other people being stunned, we were like, whoa! Like, I mean, we just felt like we had won the gold medal. I mean, I just yelled, I knew it. I mean, I just knew it because it didn't make sense to experience so much suffering and to have so many people accept Christ as their Savior. Like, what is going on here? And so in that, it just was like, one for the home team, you
yeah.
know? But then at 22 weeks, I'm put on bed rest
wow.
and go into labor. And the neonatologist comes in and says they're going to be born blind, deaf, or with brain bleeds, or not at all.
Oh, wow.
But you didn't accept that, did
no,
you?
I didn't.
That's the part of your book
yeah.
that I was like, yeah, girl.
Yeah, I didn't. No, as soon as he came in, it was like God just screamed in my spirit, no. Mm-hmm. And then I nicely told the doctor, please leave, and Ryan went in the hall with him. And, you know, just to kind of...
Well, yeah, what happened
yeah,
in the hallway?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
happened out there?
Well, he started to kind of get into what would happen if the babies were born right then. That day we got checked in
right.
to the hospital, and Julia could only hear a couple of sentences that he was saying about what would happen to them. They'd be blind or brain bleeds or heart problems and this and that and all this stuff. And Julia said, get out.
No, I did not say that. I
pretty
said,
much.
Okay.
I don't think it's necessarily the wrong response,
yeah.
honestly, because that,
right.
just, that can put fear in a woman, which is not healthy
yes.
for
right.
her body.
I mean,
right.
you're so helpless laying there on hospital bed, but I went out there with him and I listened to the rest of what, you know, we might expect.
Yeah.
And it was, I sat there and just listened and processed it. And mm-hmm. And I think we both just knew when he was telling us these things, like, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I know this isn't the end of this story, our baby's story, you know, we had a mm-hmm. whole church behind us. We had mm-hmm. so many people praying. I
yeah.
mean, we just knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, through all of that time, mm-hmm. We learned that, you know, you can have a thriving relationship with God in the midst of suffering.
Yeah.
I mean, you really can.
Mm-hmm.
We had a choice. We could either run to God or we could run away. And we
mm-hmm.
just decided that, you know, that's not something we're going to do. We're going to stay close to God.
At that
one.
Moment, I mean, that for both of you, you know, mm-hmm. you in the hospital room, you mm-hmm. outside with the doctor,
mm-hmm.
that fear mm-hmm. had to be real because you
yes.
had already lost three.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds nice when you say it now after
yeah.
the fact.
Right.
But
it was
how
terrifying.
Big of a battle was
terrifying.
It where you had to just step up and say,
it was. So I knew I needed to read the Bible, like, and I mean, I knew that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought I was going to be going home the next day. Ended up being 49 days of laying in a bed, staring out the same window.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. Like, I mean, just seeing the seasons change yeah. and begging God to let us all live. So it was really terrifying. And I was like, I know I'm supposed to read the Bible, but like, I can't read Revelation or anything right now. And I felt like God said, it's okay, just read Psalm.
Mm.
And Psalm just became my lifeline. And it was so specific, like for the day. And I just told God, this surprises us. I know it doesn't surprise you. Show us why we're here. And we, through that, a lot of people heard our story. We got to witness to many of the nurses and medical staff. Mm. And that's how TLC heard about our story and everything. But yeah, it's different looking back because you're like, oh, well, didn't you know what was going to happen? But
no.
That's
no,
not the outcome for a lot of people.
So when were these little wee ones born?
Yes. So the big prayer was for 34 weeks. 34 weeks was like, you know, the best chance of survival and everything like that. And so that was the prayer request that went out. We had people all over the world, different countries praying. It was just incredible. And so it was like week 34. And I seriously, I mean, I know so many of us, it's not the same experience, but it's the same emotions of just situations you never would have chosen. But that when you look back, you're like, oh my gosh, like that grew my faith so much. Mm-hmm. And so he just definitely showered us with protection. Mm-hmm. But then one day I just cracked and was like, I have to get out of this hospital. Like, I haven't been outside in, like, you know, months. And I told God, I was crying in the shower, and I said, Holy Spirit, something's happening. I need you to pray on my behalf. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that meant. And I fell asleep. Woke up the next day, just total peace. And we went in. I got out of my hospital room twice a week, one for date nights with Ryan at the hospital.
In the wheelchair.
Very romantic in the wheelchair. And then the other was the sonogram. And I don't want to say it wrong, sonographer, I'm not sure, got real quiet. And we were like, oh no. And he goes, okay. Your little girl has stopped growing, and we're just like, and he said, they're going to be born today. And I started praising God immediately.
How far along were you at that point?
Yes, week 30, day 4. So even in that, even in that, God was like, my ways are higher than your ways.
Wow.
So, and there's like, you don't know what to expect. They probably won't cry. They probably won't be anything where you can hear them. There was a medical staff of 24 people in the room, and they all came out crying and screaming and surviving 63 days in the NICU, and we're all home the night before our 9-year anniversary.
Oh, yay.
So praise God, it was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you guys pray big things, you got a really big thing.
Yes.
But I do have one serious question, and that's a beautiful story, and I know it's an ongoing thing. And so it's been about 2 years now, so.
Oh, has it?
Is that right?
I'm just kidding. Yes, yes.
Okay.
20 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Yes.
It's good. They're all healthy. They're all doing great.
Yes, they are.
What about people who pray big things.
Yeah. Yes.
And the baby dies, or the loved one doesn't get well,
right.
Or the job collapses, or on and on and on
mm-hmm.
and on.
That's right.
What
yes.
do you tell them?
Yes. So that was, I very strongly felt like that was supposed to be the title of the book because of wanting to encourage people in answer to what Sheila had said. Like, we find so many teenagers that fall away from the faith because, like, my big prayers didn't get answered.
Yeah.
What do you do with that? And so, not to be misleading, the book is not do these things and what you want to happen happens. It's to help very much process unanswered prayers and questions and anxiety and loss. And the big prayers, what we talk about is not always the result. Like, it's not, I want this to happen. Mm-hmm. It's show me why this is happening and what your purpose is for me in this season. And, you know, I just think life's too short to spend brokenhearted. And so asking God to help you, let go of dreams that aren't from him, that aren't going to happen, but to help you hold on with all strength and all passion to the ones that are from him.
You know, I sometimes find in my own life when I've been praying passionately for something that might be way far down the line or might not come to realize, what I've actually gained in that moment is more of the presence of God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
More of the love of
yes.
God, understanding more of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say that to any of you who are watching at home and think, well, I'm so, so happy for them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have a dream that hasn't come true.
Right.
I just want you to know God does not love you any less.
Mm-mm. That's right.
It's not that you're not praying properly.
Mm-hmm.
As Julia said, God's ways are higher than our ways.
Mm-hmm.
But he is with you in the process. Remember mm-hmm. Psalm 34, the Lord is close to mm-hmm. the brokenhearted and
yes.
save those who are crushed in spirit.
You know, Sheila, I think one of the ways that we can eventually have our prayers answered is, as my father likes to say, be an answer to someone else's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I want to show you an opportunity where you can be an answer to someone's prayer, and it's not near as difficult as having triplets. It's very simple, but it's very effective. Would you watch this with us?
What, is he saying something?
He says it's
pain. It's pain?
Yeah,
for pain. It's paining. Oh, my gosh. I'm in a village in Angola and came upon this child. This little boy's Augusto, and this breaks my heart. His little feet are in some of the worst shape I've ever seen. And there were many in this village with horrible conditions on their feet. But this little guy, he's just scratching. They itch so bad. They're completely infected. He said there's insects that have gotten into his feet. I'll be surprised if he doesn't lose his toe. And then the disease comes in through their feet and just goes throughout their body. It can actually kill them, all from going barefoot in conditions that we're in right here. I know Shoes and Smiles is a campaign that we get really excited about and it's fun, but this is why it's fun, because it saves lives. You would think just a pair of shoes is not life-saving, but in areas like this, in conditions like this, it is. And we can change it for Augusto. We can help him. We're going to clean these up and get him a pair of shoes and help him. Please, do what you can. Help bring shoes to little children like Augusto all over the world. You can be a part of something big and something even fun. But this is the reason we do it. Please.
Do you know what it takes to give that young boy shoes? A pair of shoes like this? $3.60. That is so little to make such a huge, huge difference. Sheila, this is the last week that we are doing the Christmas Shoes and Smiles. I know we're early as far as the year goes, but it's so important that people understand that this is not just simply a gift, it's a lifesaver.
Yeah. I was in Angola with Janice that you saw there in that film piece, and when you walk with some of these moms and their children down to where they get water, and these children have no shoes on and they have cuts in their feet, and then they put their feet into dirty water, and often it's hookworm, you know, which can actually go to a child's brain and take away their life. And all they're asking for is for a pair of shoes for their child. Now, you know, we're a little early, as Randy said, for Christmas, but we have to know, it's been our goal to get 150,000 children shoes for Christmas. Mm-hmm. This is our last week. Mm-hmm. We can all do something. Very reasonable. If you can, for $36, you can give 10 children a pair of shoes. You can't buy shoes for that price over here. For $180, you can put shoes on the feet of 50 children. And it's to me, it's one of those things that, you know, when Christmas comes around, it gets kind of crazy. The mall gets busy. Everything gets kind of nuts. Wouldn't it be a phenomenal thing to do as a family to say, you know what, this year, we're not going to do that. You know, sure, we're going to have fun together, but we're going to make Christmas about giving, because Christmas is about giving. Mm-hmm. If God hadn't given us Christ, where would any of us be?
You mentioned the mall. Do you still go to the mall?
No, I don't, actually.
I don't either.
No.
You know, I go online. I click a little bit. And boom, the gift arrives. That's what you can do. You can send that gift halfway around the world. Just go online, lifetoday.org, make the best gift you can, and this wonderful gift will arrive this Christmas for children who will appreciate it so, so much. We call it Christmas Shoes and Smiles because there is another part of this. We provide shoes, but we also provide smiles, literally giving children the ability to smile. As we go in and we work with these surgeons who have so graciously given of their time to fix a cleft lip, a cleft palate, which in a lot of third world countries is not not a simple thing. It's a very complex thing, and it can really put a child at a disadvantage from a health standpoint, from all sorts of standpoints. So we can fix that. And that's a $500 item, a big ticket item to me. But I think there are quite a few of you out there that have the means that would say, you know what, I want to put that smile on a child's face. $500 will do that for one, $1,000 for two. Whatever you can do, I think it is that sense of giving, that sense of, you know what, we are the expression of the one we celebrate at Christmas, of Christ. Will you go online or pick up the phone? And give the best gift you can. Give some shoes, and give some smiles.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you can help immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 150,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes, a gift of $72 will provide 20 pair, and a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted green crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this keepsake boxed set of Life's Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful Safe in the Shepherd's Arms bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
We sure appreciate all that you are doing. Please give the best gift you can so we can get some shoes and some smiles. And if you would like some more information on our guests, you guys have a website. What's that website?
Yes, juliajsadler.com.
And we can find out about the book, about the show Rattled, and the ministry, all those wonderful things.
Yes.
We sure appreciate you guys being here. Sheila?
Yeah, thank you so much for praying big things. It's a great book. It's an amazing story and three darling children. Please, will you thank our guests?
And thank you, Sheila. We're here. We're glad you're here. We hope to see you again.
See you next time.
Tomorrow on Life Today, best-selling author Stormy O'Mardian shares her story and the power of a praying woman. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.